Talk 5, talk radio that you control. The only show where you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And Conan.
And man, it's been a weird news day. Evidently, America needs to brush their teeth. All the more reason to make Vermin supreme president.
I was just going to say that. It was his message to the world, and well, we've lost him for another 4 years.
Well, not necessarily. The election hasn't happened yet. I would just like to remind people that Vermin Supreme has wanted to mandate brushing your teeth as part of his campaign for quite a long time. And according to this new study, brushing your teeth, in particular using mouthwash, inactivates coronaviruses in humans.
Inactivates it.
Yes.
Okay.
So the virus still exists, but it's like inactive, I guess. Huh.
And now, are any particular mouthwash? We're talking about the stuff with alcohol in it and the like Listerine, the stuff that you burns. It kind of makes sense. If you can basically use the stuff to clean your toilets, right?
It's almost like Trump may have had a point when he was talking about disinfectants.
Well, now, where did I hear? I could have sworn I heard that mouthwash is actually not good for you to use. Have you guys heard that?
Yeah, something about it kills
off too much.
It kills beneficial bacteria in your mouth, and so the bad bacteria can actually take over.
Ooh, that's no good.
I haven't used the stuff in years.
Yeah,
I'm just a baking soda kind of guy.
Well, that's because you don't care about people, Conan.
I know.
You want them to get COVID-19, clearly.
Well, I don't have a breath problem, and that's I do care about. I don't want to be breathing nasty fumes all over everybody.
In other news,
Baking soda is good.
In other news, a New Hampshire restaurant has been fined $2,000 for violating some karaoke rule or something. I don't know. We're going to get into that. The Justice Department has filed a federal suit against Google or ABC.
Antitrust, right?
Yes, an antitrust suit.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably for a good reason.
This is something that's been talked about for damn near the whole year.
Yeah,
the fact that Facebook and Twitter are doing things that they shouldn't be able to do, and yet, taking whole pages down, freezing accounts, and taking people down, taking tweets down that they have deemed, go against the establishment view.
They have the right to do that.
Well, now, wait a minute. I haven't even read this story yet, so I don't want to jump to any conclusions about what it's about.
I just know it's an antitrust suit. But I mean, I'm 100%. If Twitter wants to delete tweets on their platform, that's 100%.
They're right.
It is their platform.
But they're not publishers. They're not a newspaper.
No, it's a platform, and it's theirs.
Correct. So they should be able. They should have. Well, let's get into the article one of these days.
Yeah, Compton as well is rolling out a privately funded guaranteed income for a period of 2 years. And the story I want to start with. How to be productive according to ancient philosophy. Ian, you brought this in. Do you happen to have it pulled up in front of you?
I do, actually. Yeah, I happened to come across this in a newsletter that I received and thought, you know what, this is pretty interesting. It's useful information. I do like the sort of self-improvement info, self-improvement lists to give to people because, you know, there's a lot of negative news out there in the world.
Yeah.
And we still have to get through this life, so might as well be as productive as we possibly can, given the awful circumstances. So here it is from Darius Foro, writing at GetPocket.com. Whatever that is. Oh, isn't that like one of those saving links websites? I don't know where the original. Yeah, okay, GetPocket.com. Improving productivity has been a pursuit of the modern human being from the start of civilization. Somehow we believe that productivity is something that became important after the Industrial Revolution. We assume that because we live busy lives, we need to optimize our time, especially in the 21st century. That's not true. Productivity has been a topic of discussion ever since ancient Eastern and Western philosophy started. It's a universal theme. And I believe it's in our nature, writes the author, to make better use of our time. Because that's what productivity means. On a deeper level, we all realize we have limited time. You and I both know we're not getting any younger. Time is ticking. It stops for no one. We need to use it, etc., etc. We get the idea. And yet, without a clear productivity strategy, we squander our time as though we have a limitless supply. We watch endless hours of mind-numbing TV shows and movies. We spend too much time on social media, looking at the lives of other people that we really shouldn't give an S about.
Dreaming about the easy life, all those people who are making it, getting it done. You know, I think on some level, people are interested in being productive and getting things done, but it's much, much easier to watch other people do it for you.
Well, they're not doing it for you.
And it's the same thing in politics, you know, voting for, fighting over who's going to lead us, you know, save us from ourselves. And that's where we're at. And it's, I think it's, I don't think this is going to be a nice list, I can already tell.
Yeah.
But it's not going to help.
I don't know about
it might help a couple people out there.
It might help somebody out there.
I don't know about people squandering time, but I noticed that, you know, the more technology we introduce into our lives, the busier we become, the more hectic we become, the more rushed.
And it's never good to be in a rush, in my experience. Every time I've ever made critical mistakes in my life, like buying a car that ended up being a piece of garbage, was when I was in a hurry. So if you can avoid making important decisions when you're in a rush, that's a good one. Good tip. So going on, he says, and when our lives and careers do not progress, we complain. Why does my life suck and feel empty? Because you're wasting your damn time. That's why. It's time to say no to wasting time on useless things that do not bring you anything but short-term pleasure. It's time to say yes to a life of productivity that will bring you a better health, wealth, and more inner satisfaction. So we'll start by listing the following 7 productivity lessons from the most well-known philosophers in history. These lessons have helped me a lot, says the author, and I hope they'll do the same for you. So, number 1, from Socrates. Don't try to do more. The quote from Socrates is, "Beware the barrenness of a busy life," unquote.
I don't know if I can necessarily agree with that. I mean, I'm sure the author here is going to make more points, but...
Yeah, there's a little bit more here.
A busy life is a productive life in most cases.
Not necessarily. It's if you're not actually finishing your projects, if you've got 100 projects on your platter,
right.
You're working a little bit on each one, and you're not actually finishing them, I could see how...
That's
but
where
they're still
going.
Being productive.
But if you're not finishing the product, then it's not producing anything, ultimately. You're just doing a lot okay. on a little, or a little
Fair.
On a lot, or whatever, and you're never getting there. And that's where he's going with this here. He says, well, who else could give this monumental piece of advice other than Socrates? The founder of Western philosophy realized that it's easy to fill your life with meaningless tasks. But what happens when you do that? The busyness leads to unproductiveness. You end up doing many things in a mediocre way. Instead, focus your time and energy on a few important things. Don't take on more tasks and responsibilities. We often want to get more out of life, but that doesn't mean you have to do more things. That's why the most important productivity lesson is to understand that it's not about doing more, it's about doing the same in less time.
Now, I know one of my problems, because I do have 101 projects all going at once.
Yep.
And I do eventually get some of them done. But my big problem is I burn out because I'm so spread. Mm. And I have these projects. I do a lot of different things on purpose because I get bored easily. And I'll get bored with doing the same repetitive task over and over again.
So I
need to move on. And it's the same thing with my work practices. I have a lot of part-time jobs as opposed to one full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I mean, that really helps me.
I think that's why it's probably good to have 3 or 4 projects that you're constantly engaged in, because it
you
does
pick
get
one up
boring.
And put the other one down.
Yeah, 3 or 4, not 101.
Right, or 20.
Well, you're preaching to the choir on that one. I have way too many projects open.
And well, as long as you're getting some of them done, I guess.
I am.
Well, then in that case, so. I think, but if you're not getting any of them, at the end of the year, you had 100 projects and you only got one of them done, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
Next recommendation, complete 3 to 4 important tasks each day. From Plato, quote, better a little, which is well done, than a great deal imperfectly. So this is sort of restating what we were just talking about. Time is a paradoxical concept. Life is long, but our days are short. We can achieve a lot in a lifetime. We can achieve a little in a day. Once you realize that, you won't try to do the impossible on an average day. Take it easy. Make small progress every day. Do that by only setting 3 to 4 important tasks that will directly contribute to what you want to achieve in life. If you don't have clear goals in your life, it's not the end of the world. And let's talk more about that in a moment.
Absolutely, because it's very difficult to know what you want out of life. It's easy to know what you don't want. But actually sitting down and thinking, what do I actually want out of life? That's a difficult question.
Yeah, what am I trying to accomplish? What do I want written on my gravestone?
Can you answer that question? What do you want out of life? Give us a call, 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. It's It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. The only show where you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. With you tonight, it's Aria, Conan, and Ian. And we're talking ancient philosophy here, or more specifically, tips from ancient philosophers about how to be more productive.
Yeah, these aren't new ideas. They're great information that not enough people really understand.
Yeah. Most people do. They get home from work and they spend 5 hours watching television, accomplishing absolutely nothing. I think the average American watches like 35 hours of television a week.
Is that true? Are you factoring in YouTube there now? Because that's taken away a lot of traditional TV watching, online Hulus, YouTubes.
If I was like doing the tracking, I would include YouTube and all of that watching television.
And gaming?
And are you talking pre-COVID or are you talking during COVID?
I imagine the numbers are up.
Right.
It's got to be. And drinking.
The drinking numbers are up too? Yeah, probably.
Drinking doesn't necessarily prevent a person from being productive, though. I do some of my most productive things at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm drunk. I'm not even kidding.
And that's what the pothead says too. He says,
You're talking to someone who drinks a lot of wine and who smokes a lot of pot, and both of us are pretty productive.
Pretty productive. Yeah, it's true. I get things done at nighttime because no one's bothering
me.
But on the other hand, I also get more stuff done if I can get up in the morning. So it's like I'm torn. I feel bad when I don't get up in the morning, but
I used to. But now I wake up at like 2 p.m. and I'm good with that because I know that I was up until 7 o'clock actually
doing stuff.
I hate mornings. That is the bane of my existence.
Yeah, I don't do mornings. Uh-uh. This Danish newspaper wanted to interview me at like 10:30 Sunday morning. I was like, look, there's zero chance
Sunday?
Of this happening.
No way.
I was up at 6 o'clock on Sunday.
So Jesus. Was I. But I was still up at 6 o'clock.
I had actually gone to bed because I knew that I had a big day of delivering, toilet paper and dog food.
Yeah. Did you want to do
Thank
any
you
of those?
For your service.
Thank you for your service. All you delivery people.
Did you want me to pick this up?
Yes,
number two?
Absolutely.
So we're on the list from getpocket.com looking at some 7 ways to be more productive, according to ancient philosophers. This one is Plato, who said, better a little, which is well done, than a great deal imperfectly.
Now that, yes.
It is also counter to a lot of advice younger generations are getting in college, where they're saying, there's one meme in particular that's like, this is a very important life lesson for people who suffer from depression or whatever. It's better to do a little bit in a half-assed way than it is to do nothing at all. Like, maybe you can't put in the effort because you're depressed to take a full shower. That's fine. Instead, just brush your teeth. So they're literally receiving the opposite message.
I haven't seen this, but that I guess that only makes sense. But
just kill yourself at that point. I mean, if you can't even take a shower.
There's a quote to go with it that anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. That's
what they're saying to people now?
Yeah. I'm going to pull it up there's a
military meme. It's like you finish something and it's all half-assed and the quote is, good enough for government work. People would say that all the time, and it would enrage me, man. My blood would just start boiling because I can't tolerate half-assed work.
Yep. It was actually G.K. Chesterton who said that anything worth doing is worth doing badly.
I firmly disagree.
I agree entirely. I agree with your disagreement.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
But what's the context of that? Why would he even say that? Chesterton.
I don't know. There's an article here from Psychology Today about it, but
let's talk about it later.
Yeah.
Mark that one, because that's interesting. I'm curious to hear what their justification is for this. But so back to this one here. So number two on the list, complete 3 to 4 important tasks every day. They say, don't try to do the impossible. Make small progress every day. Take it easy. And do that by only setting 3 to 4 important tasks that will directly contribute to what you want to achieve in life. Now, if you don't have clear goals in your life, it's not the end of the world. Aim for universal concepts like self-improvement, joyfulness, and having good relationships. Become the best version of yourself. Now, I want to stop there and interrupt this. This is really actually an important thing, is to actually have goals for your life. And, it's nice to say universal peace or self-improvement and joyfulness, but you should have something you want to accomplish in your life. Otherwise, why are you here? Is it just to suck air and, you know, guzzle alcohol or whatever it is that, you know, you're busying yourself with every single day? So figure out what you want to do. Have some inspiration. At some point, most people come up with some inspiration, a thing that they want to accomplish, a goal they want to achieve. And if you haven't done that yet, then you can't really have 3 to 4 important tasks each day if you don't know where you're going. So in order to come up with 3 to 4 tasks, you have to have the end goal in mind, whether it's getting some fancy new car or a new house or meeting, you know, the love of your life or starting a business or whatever it is that is attractive to you, the thing that inside of you, you know, is something that, you know, you want to accomplish.
I agree. And I think, you know, most people will just take, you know, the default socially correct answer. Oh, well, I want to have a house and a spouse and kids and all of that. I would urge people to actually put time and energy into considering what it is they want out of life, because not everybody is going to want that.
That's right.
And I'm glad that I sat down in my early 20s to determine what I did want out of life. And it did not include a family and children.
Sure. Well, you're unusual.
For most people, but am I unusual? Or do most people just not
are.
Give it any thought? And then they end up, wait, I'm probably unusual.
I think you are, because I'm also unusual in the same way. I also have no interest in children, and I had a vasectomy at age 23 to make sure that that wouldn't happen by accident. And that I wanted to focus on, you know, doing what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people have a certain drive. And you definitely have a high sex drive, from what I understand.
Yeah.
But most people have a drive to actually reproduce, it seems. Like there is some sort of
Because they're afraid of dying, and they want some part of themselves to continue on forever.
I don't know if they could express that. I don't know if that's their reason for it. I don't think there's a reason for it. I remember asking Jackie, who is a former co-host here on the show, about, you know, what is that feeling like of wanting to have a baby, right? Because women get real interested in this as they get older, right? Like if their so-called biological clock is ticking. Well, does that feel like a thing? What is that drive like? Because I don't experience anything like this. Like I do not have the interest in seeing a little Ian running around or, you know, whatever, right? I've never had that. So other people must have something that they're experiencing, this drive to reproduce. It has to be more than just the drive to have sex.
I've had a couple of friends who the guys who got married and then moved and never saw them again. But one thing that they said early on in their relationships was, yeah, we're not ever having kids. And I'm sitting over there. I had, of course, you know, I was with my daughter, and I was just looking at them like, yeah, you're going to last about a year,
and then
you can start pumping them out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
every
single one of them, lots of kids. And it's like, well, what happened?
What changed?
You haven't changed your job professions. You're doing the same thing. You know, what changed in that year's time that you decided to just start, you know, is it all about having purpose? Is it all, like Arya says, about actually continuing your life in some way, living through your children? Who knows? But they all failed their original intent, and they're lots of kids.
Can they explain it?
I haven't asked them.
Can they put words? Put
Can
it to
a
words?
Listener out there explain it? 855-450-FREE.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing, too. Invest in Liberty and property. Mark Warden. Gordon can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
It's Free Talk 5, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about whatever's on your mind at 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live. With you in the studio, it's Aria, Ian, and Conan. And I wanted to tell you that Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform, and you can find it at local.bitcoin.com. There you can buy or sell Bitcoin Cash using dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site. And all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted, which means you finally have a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Get started trading Bitcoin Cash at local.bitcoin.com. Again, that's local.bitcoin.com. That's one way you can be productive. We're talking about productivity here, and more specifically, what ancient philosophers have said about being productive. Want to continue with it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were talking about, we're still on just number two here, about completing 3 to 4 important tasks each day. You know, you don't want to take on monumental levels of things to do in one day. Just, you know, slow and steady wins the race, but you got to keep plodding ahead. But you have to have tasks to do. So how do you get those? Well, you need to have goals. And this article doesn't get into it because I think this is an article that is geared towards people who are already interested in this sort of topic. And so they sort of breeze by the idea of, hey, you don't have any goals? Well, what do you do about that? You need to be inspired to do something with your life. So you set that long distance goal of whatever it is, right? You want to have your own business, you want to have a house, you want to have whatever. And then you figure out what are the steps that you have to take? What are the little goals that you have to reach in order to get the end goal? I mean, this sounds basic, right? Yeah. But there are not a lot of people who actually take the time to do this. There aren't a lot of people who actually take the time to write down the things that they want to accomplish and literally write down what it's going to take to get there. Maybe you've got it up in your head somewhere, but it actually helps to write it out.
Interesting. I've never written it out. You know, I just keep it all here in my head. Never actually bothered to write it out, but it's important to note that when you do, I mean, you're exactly right. When you do have this great big thing you want to accomplish, you have to break that down into accomplishable steps, because you don't set out with the goal of, okay, I want to write a book and that's what I'm going to do. You have to set yourself, you have to break that into smaller chunks. You're not writing a book at any given moment. You're putting words on a page. So start with like 1 page a day or 3 pages a day or whatever you can actually manage to accomplish, and work toward that goal by doing that.
So this is important to do. Now, if you've got a mind like a steel trap, Aria, and you can just remember everything, then that's awesome. But for a lot of us, it helps to write things down, especially the more you pile on your plate. If you've got 9 different projects or 5 different projects going on all at once, it can be a little bit challenging.
Well, that's why I use a calendar now.
So that helps, right? Calendars help. The classic to-do list, of course, is a basic one. It doesn't have to be a physical writing. It can be an app of some sort. I like the app Workflowy. I like that one a lot. I've been using that one for years. It's like a to-do list on steroids, because it takes you can like make a to-do list, and then you can zoom in on one of the items and then have another list of things underneath that. And each one of those items can have its own sub-list underneath that. So you can literally like do a brain dump to this app. And it's nice because it's actually free. I mean, they have a paid tier or whatever, but it's free and you can get plenty of use out of it without having to pay them to get into it.
And you said that's Workflowy?
Workflowy.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to check into that.
And there are other things that are, you know, competitive with it from what I understand out there. But it's really important to just get that stuff down. That way you can look at it and you can prioritize and say, well, okay, well, I got to do this sooner rather than later. It's all important, but this is the most important thing. This is what I have to get done today or this week or whatever. And there are ways to kind of tag things with time frames. So let's go on. Number three, enjoy doing the work.
There you go. That's
Aristotle, it. This is key. Aristotle wrote, quote, "Pleasure in the job puts perfection in the work," unquote. Set goals, but don't stare yourself blind on them. Instead, give your attention to the job itself. It's easy to daydream about all the things we want to do in the future, but that puts us in the wrong state of mind. We risk sacrificing the present for the future. And no matter how hard you work today, never see it as a sacrifice. I like that viewpoint too. A lot of people talk about sacrifice, but really, isn't it just an investment? Isn't the time that you're putting into educating yourself or becoming more skilled or whatever it is that you're doing to, you know, grow yourself, is that a sacrifice in that you can't do other things that you're doing during this time frame? Or is it an investment in something that's going to pay off in the future?
Well, it's like definitely an opportunity cost for sure. Because I mean, if I spend if I spend my time, you know, building together a music studio, it means I wasn't spending my time doing some other project that I want to do.
Right. But it's something you wanted to do.
It was.
And it was the thing you wanted to do the most at that time.
Yes.
All right. Well, now for the rest of the country who are just, you know, they're stocking shelves and are on the phone talking to people they don't necessarily want to talk to, and they're making the green. so that they can accomplish some of those goals. What do you tell those people who are in dead-end jobs, who hate their jobs, hate their bosses, hate some of the people that they work with, hate their customers? You know, is there a way?
I love my boss, but I hate the job and I hate the customers.
Is there a way to take number three's statement there and take it to your dead-end job?
That's
yeah,
a tough
because
one.
I mean, it's a stepping stone, right?
Well, it might not be. It might be what you do for the rest of your life, because you always need to make
that money.
Well,
that's because they didn't set goals, and they didn't set about ways to achieve those goals.
And they may have no actual dream.
Well, maybe their goal is just to own a house and to take care of a family. So they need the house, they need the car, they need to put food on the table for the kids, but they're doing something 40 hours a week that they hate to enjoy something later that they love.
Yeah.
That is part of their goals.
Well, I mean, if you're doing something that you hate, I sure hope you're getting paid well for it.
Yeah.
Because if you're not getting paid well for it, then why are you doing it? Because there's all kinds of other things out there that you could do that you might hate less. And so, I mean, you can't tell somebody what – I would never tell somebody what to do with their life. But if you don't have, you know, an ultimate goal that you want to accomplish – then, or you don't have some sort of vision beyond. If all you want to do is just have a house and a family, is that it? I mean, isn't that?
Why do you want that?
There are a lot of people out there. That's exactly what they get up in the morning for.
I don't think it is, and I think that's why everyone on the planet is miserable. They just assume that that's what they want, and so that's what they do because that's what their parents did, and that's what their parents did, and that's just what society is supposed to do. You're supposed to get a house, and you're supposed to have kids. So they do it without ever giving it any consideration. Whether that's actually what they want.
And meanwhile, they spend all of their free time watching TV, watching YouTube of people who they admire, people who are getting it done, and they sit there and they just dream about, that could be me.
Well, that suggests that the person may want to accomplish something else, but maybe doesn't know how or whatever. They want something bigger in their life, but they feel like they can't do it. And of course, if all you're doing is watching television, then you're never going to get any of those things done. Whatever hours you have outside of your job are those hours that you can use to build your business or your dream. And that's what you should be doing with that time. I don't blame somebody for wanting to, you know, blow off some steam and kick back. And I mean, we all need leisure time, right? No, we're all work and no play.
I am finally watching a horror movie tonight.
Night? What? Which one?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I'm going to be surprised by it, but I mean...
Just randomly pick one?
Probably.
Okay.
Television is the ultimate destroyer of productivity.
Sure is. So, you know, you have to really look at what you want to do. Why did you pick this job that you hate? Maybe go back and reflect on that. Was it just the one that was closest by, some place that was hiring? I mean, why did you stay with it? Is it because you already had the kids and you're trying desperately to put food in their mouths and you didn't have time to go around and look at the other options for jobs that might be out there? Because there's a million jobs out there. One of them's got to be better for you. If you don't have the wherewithal or the money or the time to start your own business, then yeah, you do usually have to work for somebody else in order to get your foothold in life. But if you've already been pumping out kids and you've got all kinds of alimony and child support that you got to pay, then yeah, you could feel trapped. In that situation.
In which case, they would need to immediately start making better decisions.
Well,
Series of bad decisions.
When you're trapped, it's kind of hard to it. And it's you were talking about buying a car really quickly because you probably needed something quickly. And
one of the biggest mistakes.
You were trapped.
Yep.
You had to do something right then and there. And I think a lot of people are in that boat.
But he wasn't defeated by it. I mean, he's not working a dead-end job now because he made one bad decision. He recovered from that and he made better decisions.
It helped that I didn't have kids.
Indeed. 855-450-FREE as it's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you in the studio, it's Aria, Ian, and Conan, and we're talking about eliminating distractions, being more productive. I find it interesting that the fourth point, the one that we're about to get into, is eliminate distractions, when that's pretty much what we were discussing in the last segment by telling people to turn off their television.
Well, the last one was enjoy doing your work, and that got into a much larger discussion about why people are doing the things that they're doing and what if anything that they can do about it, or what they feel like they can do about it, given how much how much of their time and resources are being stretched in whichever directions. So quick recap here. So this is from getpocket.com. It is the ancient philosophers on how to be productive. Don't try to do too much, basically, was number one. Number two, complete 3 to 4 important tasks each day to reach your goals. Hopefully you have goals. If not, start with that. Three, enjoy doing your work. Because if you hate what you do, then, man, you're not going to want to show up. You're not going to want to do a good job. So try to find whatever joy there is in it. There's a reason you took the job in the first place.
I joked during the last segment that I hate my job. That's not true. I actually quite like the job.
You seem to like it.
Yeah, I find it enjoyable.
I mean, there's always going to be...
It's a good way of escaping from, you know, the sheriff campaign and the other nonsense perpetually going on in my life, because I get there and all I have to do is focus on work.
You just do those tasks and
work is
done.
How I escape from reality.
And you know what? That's fine. That's how I escaped from, you know, when I was in jail for civil disobedience. I worked in the jail kitchen for 8 hours a day. Made it go by a lot quicker.
I'm sure it did.
And it was fun. Like, I'm not a kitchen experienced person, but I can wash dishes and I can learn things, right? So there was one day that I was flipping, like, you know, dozens of egg sandwiches all at the same on the big, you know, griddle or whatever. So number four, eliminate distractions. This is Marcus Aurelius. Quote, if you seek tranquility, do less. Or, more accurately, do what's essential. Do less better. Because most of what we do or say is not essential. If you can eliminate it, you'll have more tranquility. Unquote. Elimination is a key strategy for every productive person. You shouldn't only eliminate non-essential tasks, but everything that distracts you. The more you eliminate, the more focus and tranquility you have. Look at yourself as a sculptor. You've been given a massive stone. Your task is to eliminate so much until you end up with a perfect piece of art. Is social media polluting your soul? Eliminate it. Are some people causing you hurt and drama? Eliminate them from your life. Continue eliminating everything else that has a negative impact on your sanity and productivity.
I just want to state it again.
That's everything if you look at it in a certain light.
I just want to state it again, though. Start with the television.
Mm-hmm.
I have one television in my house, and it's my bedroom where I'm not supposed to be productive. By the time I get there,
productivity is done. Mm-hmm. How many hours a day do you watch it?
None.
Okay. Like, me too. I'm pretty much at zero. I mean, I've had a Netflix movie sitting on my shelf for like 3 or 4 months now.
Well, I will turn it on and like put something on while I fall asleep, but that's because it's the easiest way to quiet my brain easily enough for me to fall asleep. Because otherwise, I just think constantly, and
I'll just listen to it.
Yeah, no, I can't listen to anything while I try to sleep. I can't listen to music. I can't have something playing in the other room. I will go crazy.
So I guess by that definition, I probably watch 3 or 4 minutes a day, but...
You fall right asleep, though, too.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
And then it cuts itself off half an hour later, and done.
This is good advice, though. I like this advice to eliminate the things that are distracting to you, eliminate the things that are stressing to you. Obviously, there are certain things you can't, right? Like, you still got to pay the bills.
Sure.
You know, you still have to show up to your job until you figure out something else, right? Until whatever thing that you want to do for you actually starts to be productive, or you can get work in like the gig economy where you can set your own schedule. And that is something that people should consider is, you know, you don't have to have a job. There are other things that are available, like contract work, Uber or Lyft and these other, not that I'm advocating that people work for these corporations, but they do allow folks to have some more freedom because they get to set their own schedules.
I will admit contract work is... That's my direction that I usually tend to go because you know, you're working for yourself, for someone else.
You still have a job you have to accomplish for that other person.
Yeah, you got to get it done. You got to do a good job. And you want them calling you back the next day, but
you want them recommending you.
You're basically your own boss all day.
You want them telling their friends about you too.
Oh, absolutely.
You can also go further. I mean, the handy guy that we know, he has no employer other than, you know, the people who hire him to do certain tasks. So instead of going through Uber or Lyft or through some corporation, you can just take the independent route.
You can, but that's tough, right, for people. And sometimes it's feast and famine. The person you're talking about is within a lot of work right now.
Yeah.
But once that work's gone, he's got to figure out where the next work's going to come from.
Well, and good example, Aria. There's a couple here in our area who I guess they were doing what's the Uber pickup? The grocery shoppers?
Uber Eats
or something. I guess they're working...
Oh, the grocery? That's Instacart.
So he was working for Instacart, but his customers started asking, hey, could you go to this store that's not actually in the app?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I guess I could do it on the side.
Yep.
And so basically the couple has basically started their own grocery pickup.
That happened here in Keene?
Right here in Keene. So, nice. I mean, yeah.
Did you even learn of this?
It's in the newspaper.
Oh.
So you can...
I don't read those.
You could start with one of these big, you know, corporate oligarchies, and work your way from there. If you actually have the drive and you've set that goal for yourself, or maybe it just kind of pops in your lap like these people where the customers are like, hey, this app isn't, you know, getting what we want done. Could you do something for us on the side? And that's where it went.
Absolutely.
So you have to start somewhere.
But cut out the crap is what this one's saying.
And the reason he was even asked to do this is because he was doing a good job originally.
Right.
And the customers wanted him to go, you know, above and beyond. And so if he was doing a crap job, he might not have actually, you know, gotten the request in the first place. So that's
right.
That's key. Do a good job.
Build those relationships
from the get-go.
Just good advice here, right? Get rid of the stuff that's distracting you, not just the television set, but the negative influences in your life. The TV is this thing that you can do to spend your time on, but what about those people that are demanding things of you that you don't really get anything out of these relationships? What about this social media that you're just throwing away hours and hours on, and really, what are you getting out of it? So if it is, you know, harming you, if you find yourself frustrated by these things, just cut them out of your life. And I'm going to say that includes family members, okay? Because there are certain people who...
Oh, for sure.
There's this idea out there that because you're born into this group of strangers that you owe them something. You know, like the uncle that is going to just bleed your bank account dry because he wants to sleep on your couch, you know, for the next 6 months or whatever. I mean, I'm just picking something out that
sure.
I remember from a friend of mine in the past. There's these certain... people that will try to take advantage of you because, oh, well, you're family. Now, you should let me take advantage of you. I'm your cousin or whatever. Well, if you're not actually providing, you know, if you're not like a total cripple and you know, you can actually work for yourself, there's no reason why you need to be on the couch all day, then you need to get out if you're not going to do something. So,
yeah, I don't think a lot of people are going to get on that one.
No, you got to clean up your relationships.
But you're absolutely right. Yep. It's that, you know, it's not just your neighbor. It's not just your coworker. It's your blood.
Yep.
Your blood could be cancerous and poisonous to your life. And if, you know, if you continue,
you don't owe them.
If you can, well, that's where you're going to have the argument with people who are going to disagree with you. That somehow blood does owe each other. On some level.
Well, hey, then you spend all your time trying to make your blood happy.
There you
go.
You
know, and that's going to make you that much less productive. Number five, keep your ego in check. This is a quote from Plutarch. Quote, neither blame or praise yourself, said Plutarch. Now, that's kind of interesting. As the famous Roman biographer Plutarch realized, the ego loves praise but also blame. In fact, your ego loves any type of attention. At all times, refuse to please your ego. All you have to do is be aware that you have an ego. Most people live their lives without ever realizing their ego is hurting their work. When you excessively blame yourself for things that go wrong, you end up hating yourself and ultimately everyone else. And when you do the opposite, you end up loving yourself in an unhealthy way. That's also called narcissism. A little never hurts. But when you overdo it, you sacrifice the quality of your work. Hence, don't blame or praise yourself. Instead, celebrate the process, not the outcomes.
Hmm.
Now, that's an interesting one, and it's one that I'd never heard before. I'm wondering what your take is.
I'm going to have to, you know, meditate on that for a while.
Well, I mean, this goes back to my comment on when you do anything, do it well. That is, it's the whole process is the getting it done. The production is just as important as, I guess, you doing a good job doing it. I mean, it can be fulfilling to do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're just slapping some mud on the wall and you're calling it paint, you know, calling it done, just so you can go home and, you know, watch cat memes and drink and pay the bills. I mean, is that fulfilling? Or is doing the best job that you can, actually going to town on that wall, you know, paint on that paint, is that going to make you feel better, make you sleep better that night?
It's difficult to say, but for those people who need to keep their egos in check, as always, I would recommend psilocybin cubensis. That's magic mushrooms. This is Free Talk Live, free as in...
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for everyone to use it in everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that's as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more, and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. The only show where you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That number's 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live. With you in the studio, it's Aria, Ian, and Conan. And we're talking about ways that people can be more productive, according to ancient philosophers. And a lot of these are just common sense ideas that most people probably have never stopped to think about, like eliminating distractions.
Well, that's it. These aren't common sense ideas. By definition, they're not common.
Well, right? They should be.
They seem
the problem
like
is people are stupid, so they're not common.
I would like to say they're ignorant. I don't like to say that people are stupid. I mean, these things do have to be taught. You know, by default, people seek pleasure and they want to avoid pain, but they're not so good at figuring out that doing certain things now could give them more pleasure in the long run. You know, they see the immediacy.
Humans are very short-sighted.
Yes.
Increasingly, because they're not being taught that, you know, it pays off to invest in something, to invest time and energy into learning a skill so that you can be happier later.
And let us remember that there are a lot of very powerful people out there, and I'm not just talking about the technocrats out there, but I'm talking about businesses and whatnot, that they don't want this type of knowledge out there.
No,
they don't want you working for yourself. They don't want you making your own, growing your own food. They want you going to their stores. They want you, you know, using their product because it makes them money and it gives them power. So, I mean, this is not knowledge that you would actually, that they would want out there. This is not something you're going to find taught in schools unless it's, you know, buried in a text somewhere with, you know, a dusty text.
Well, I can be more productive by buying their products instead of growing the food myself.
This is true. You have to decide, and this is where I, you know, am constantly questioning what I do as the frugalist that I am, is, you know, what I actually, this is why I time everything. This is why I count pennies. Because I just made my own soap. This stuff is good stuff. But what did I actually spend
on
materials?
How much time?
You know, so when you add all that up at the end of the process, it's like, all right, did I actually save money? And actually, a lot of the things I do, like for example, I make my own wine. People ask me, ask me what I'm drinking. And I save a lot of money making my own wine. A lot.
Absolutely.
Now, beer, now you can really go to town and start these crafts, these little micro guys that do their own thing in their garages. They could spend a lot of money buying very expensive materials and equipment and stuff, and I don't go that route. So that is where I've decided there's a line, there's a level that I'm not going to go past unless it's about being, a lot of these guys that make their own beer that is their goal in life.
See, but you're motivated by saving money. I mean, that's the part of this that motivates you. For me, it's about being productive.
I'm motivated. My motivation is cutting out the middleman and being sufficient, being self-sufficient, not about, and saving money just comes with that. But I'm more interested in being self-sufficient.
I would rather,
and that's a goal.
That's one of my biggest goals in life.
Yeah,
I would rather buy a box of wine and just drink it while I work on my campaign or something.
Well, y'all have different goals
for sure
in life, and that's okay.
It is.
That's what makes life interesting, is everybody can do it differently. And so to pick up on this list at getpocket.com on the seven lessons.
I admire your goals. And I wish I could say that I shared them, because, I mean, they're good. That's good. I wish I could be self-sufficient. But it's at odds with too many other things that I want to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, you gotta draw the line, like I said.
I mean, the same way.
There are other things. You two guys in particular are doing a whole bunch of stuff that I'm not doing. That I've decided that I've done podcasts, I've done radio shows, and
you've run for political office, you've done activism.
TV shows and stuff, and run for office and all. And I just decided, I'm just busting my head up against a brick wall when it comes to that kind of thing. There are things that I can do really well that.
That you can control.
That I can control on a daily basis.
And you
are
doing a radio show right now still.
So. Yeah. Well, I just let Ian know that, sorry guys, all my fans, I got to take the season off. My workload is...
It's holidays.
It's holidays.
Post office.
Q4.
They're going to slam you.
We're getting butt slammed for sure.
Are they hiring more people? Because the number of packages... online shopping that's going to be done this year is going to be astronomically higher than in any previous year.
That is a good question. The hiring process at the post office is so crazy weird. I don't even know what's going on. I talk to the UPS and the FedEx guys all the time because they're getting butt slammed too.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we're hiring. But the process is weird. And you just got to get on their websites and you just got to look it up. I think that, yes. But what I do is not an easy job. For me, it's easy, most people can't do it. And I know this because I watch the guys that come in. I've seen dudes. We found it. One of the last guys, we found him crying on the side of the road.
Wow.
I'm not exaggerating.
Rough.
He was actually crying. And because it's just it's a different kind of work where you got to be able to turn your inner rain man on. Mm. You got to Otzi out when it comes to casing mail. But then you got to go out into the rain and the weather, and you got to be able to drive your own vehicle. A lot of people can't do it. It's a rough job.
So recap. Don't try to do more, number one. Two, complete 3 to 4 important tasks each day. Three, enjoy doing the work. Four, eliminate distractions. Five, the last one we were discussing was keep your ego in check, where they say don't hate yourself, don't blame yourself excessively for the things that go wrong. It's easy to do that, right?
Sure.
Like I'll do it when I don't get up on time, like, oh, I'm a loser. And then I'll like realize, you know what, I just need to get to work.
Don't you have a mean inner monologue or something?
I mean, when I don't wake up on time, yeah, I beat myself up a little bit, but it's saying, you know, don't do that to yourself. But also don't celebrate excessively the things you get right, you know? There's no point in doing that. So just move on to the next thing. And that brings us to number six. Keep moving forward. Quote from Confucius. He said, quote, "It does not matter how slowly you go as long as you do not stop."
Hmm.
Unquote. One unproductive day can destroy your whole momentum, and it can set you back months. Never underestimate how difficult it is to live a productive life. And realize that most people in your environment will not understand you. What does one more drink hurt? Well, could be a lot. Even when you're resting, do something little that brings you closer to your goals. Read a book, go to the gym, write in your journal. No matter how small your effort, keep moving and stop for nothing.
I can't agree with that. Even when you're resting, do something little that brings you closer to your goals. I mean, you have to take time to actually just rest.
I agree with that.
You have to put everything down and just relax occasionally. I'm intending to do that later tonight.
Or you'll burn out.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the old rule of all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. It's there's nothing wrong with taking a day, right?
Sure.
And I don't agree with them that one day of, you know, lack of productivity is going to set you back months. That's ridiculous.
And this is his interpretation of that quote as well,
correct?
Right?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So he's decided that is not a good thing to do. But
I did the same thing this weekend. I took a whole day out, you know, basically for myself and didn't get any of my goals completed. But that's okay because, you know, the other 29 or 30 days this month, I will be doing things. And so you just have to have the perspective on, you know, when is it okay to just take a break? And
I'm in about 4 months now without a single day of just like relaxing and doing nothing. I almost took one today and called out from the show, but you know, I'm probably not going to be here next Tuesday. So
okay.
I'll just be here tonight then. And that makes more sense. And then I can just take next Tuesday off and actually get a day.
And planning, it's a good idea too, to put it.
Sure.
As something you're deliberately doing, not just like you wake up and like, I don't want to do anything today, but to say, okay, this is my day to just relax, watch a horror movie.
Good point.
Take it easy. And then it's a goal that you've reached. And then that is your own bit of a celebration with yourself. Number seven, rely on a system. Great acts, this is a quote from Lao Tzu, great acts are made up of small deeds. Whether we realize it or not, everything we do is part of a system. The first thing you do when you wake up, what you do when you start working, how much you work, where you work, what you eat, whether you work out or not, and so forth. All your small actions combined form your system for living. And that leads to the big outcomes in life: more happiness, fulfillment, and better health, wealth. It's all a result of your system. So if you don't have a productivity system, create one. Like Lao Tzu says, think about the small actions. Like everything in life, small things lead to big things. It's up to you to decide what big things you will get. Will you get a good or bad outcome? The latter requires wasting your time. The former requires productive action every day. What will it be? It's up to you.
I would definitely suggest people rely on a system. There are all kinds of things you can do to help keep track of things. You were talking about Workflowy earlier. There's also Calendly and all sorts of awesome things
Calendly.
Like that. There are all sorts of bits of technology out there that people use to help themselves stay on track. 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in to talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. With you in the studio, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And Conan.
And you've heard us talk about Divi here on Free Talk Live, and maybe you have wanted to set up one of their easy-to-deploy masternodes or stake Divi so that you can start earning Divi right now. Well, Ian here actually set up a Divi masternode, says it was super easy and that staking was even easier. We're not investment advisors here on Free Talk Live, but we think you'll be impressed with your earning potential with Divi as compared to traditional investment vehicles. Go to DiviProject.org and get started. You can buy Divi at several exchanges or directly from the Divi team. If you need help, there is a link to their Telegram channel right on the front page at DiviProject.org, DiviProject.org. And as we were talking about earlier, a lot of people don't actually think about what it is they want out of life. They just assume they want a family and a house, and then they become depressed. Well, our good friends at the government have a solution to that.
Well, I think that the government might get their hands on this in one day, but this is just a study Sussex Medical School, published in the British Journal of Psychiatry.
And their solution to deal with the misery out there that you know people are enveloped in is to put lithium in the drinking water.
Oh yeah.
Just like the Unabomber told us they would ultimately attempt to do.
Or like Aldous Huxley told
Brave
us
New
in
World.
Brave New
Soma.
World, putting Soma in the pills that they took to escape their daily monotonous lives. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to work in that book as well. So it's been predicted by a lot of people.
Sure.
But I knew.
And I definitely don't want you to, you know, say that the Unabomber was, you know, right in general. He had a point on occasion.
I think he had a lot of points, and I think that some of them are coming true, like social media and the new woke culture that we're entering into, with people full of people. We were talking about the ego in the last segment about the constant awareness of how many clicks they got that day. And if they didn't, you know, what they would have to do the next day to get those clicks that they, because that it, talking about goal setting. That's some people's goals.
To get more clicks.
To get more clicks.
Well, before we get into the lithium story, let's go to the phones. We've got Glenn calling from Pennsylvania. Glenn, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, thank you. That was quick. I just wanted to mention a piece of news I think is important. I usually keep track of what the government spending, the GNP ratio is. And right now it's at an all-time high of over 50%, meaning the government's spending half of everything that's produced in the reported economy right now, the U.S. government.
Well, that doesn't outrageous. Include the government deficit, which is, I believe, or the debt. I believe the government debt is now greater than, or is expected to be shortly, greater than the entire GDP of the United States.
Yeah, it's like 120-some right now. If you go to usdebtclock.org, mm-hmm. It has a lot of information there.
Yep. Yeah, that website is terrifying, too, for anyone who understands anything about what those numbers are.
Yeah. And I'm just surprised that this is not reported in the news. Everybody wants some free stuff, I guess, but they don't want the know the bill's going to be coming for all this free stuff.
Well, some of this is being reported. I mean, we've talked about it here on Free Talk Live, and it's been in the mainstream media, but the average person doesn't pay attention to this stuff.
Yeah.
Glenn, thank you so much for the call. I mean, yeah, the average person is more interested in, you know, watching television and paying attention to Facebook or Twitter or whatever than they are to something as esoteric to them as a $24 trillion government debt.
Well, and it's $27 trillion now, but...
Jesus, already.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a banner year for adding to the debt. But you can't blame somebody for not wanting to care about something that they ultimately don't really have any control over. I mean, what are you going to do? Vote?
Use Bitcoin.
Okay, yes. That's a solution to protect your own self from the ravages of inflation, which are coming and continue to come. So that's good advice.
I don't think it's desire for Bitcoin that has got it up to about $12,000 right now. I think it's the collapse of the USD or the downward trend of the USD.
Well, I did see a headline recently, I think it was just a couple days ago, that 7% of Americans apparently have some Bitcoin or have purchased Bitcoin at some point in their lives. I consider that a pretty good number.
Pretty good.
I would 7%. Agree.
7%.
That's crossing into the, I mean, once we hit the 10 to 15%, and people have to realize, you know, the $12,000 Bitcoin, everyone's like, oh, I missed the boat on Bitcoin. Mm-mm-mm. Look, we're only at 7% adoption in the United States, okay? Yeah. You haven't missed anything.
Nope.
You're still capable of getting on the boat.
Yeah, and wait until the Federal Reserve, with cooperation from the U.S. government, unrolls their digital currency.
Have they even talked about that in any significant way yet?
There is a bill that is currently being worked on, the Banking for All Act.
Okay.
They are, yes, this, and it's not going to be this year. It'll be, I think, is 2023.
Will it protect my banking accounts from being shut down for selling Bitcoin?
I think you're going to have a much harder time dealing with this new digital currency than you are currently.
Then it's not banking for all, is it?
Well,
no, of course not. In the same way that the Patriot Act is not patriotic.
But I do believe that if this is going to, like, a lot of people still don't use digital currency. Like a lot of people.
Sure.
Most people do use.
They might have. Well, they might have some, but they don't actually use it. Wait until everything.
Are you talking about like credit cards and things like that when you say digital currency?
I am. I think he's not.
All right. Well, if you're going to go that route, then yes, a lot of people, I would say at least half of the population, do use a digital form of currency, but it's not,
because there's, I think, 7% or so.
But it's still backed up by paper. I'm talking about banking for all is going to be, there won't be paper anymore. It'll be straight up. Mm-hmm. Everything is right. All the ones and zeros are on your app.
Yeah, it's actually, from what I haven't read the Banking for All details, but the proposals for the central bank digital currencies, as they're being called, CBDCs, basically, it almost sounds like it would eliminate the banks, because everyone would have an account directly with the Federal Reserve.
And the question is, why aren't all the big banks, why isn't Chase and all these others coming out in opposition to this? Why aren't we seeing any backflack?
I'm sure they will.
Unless they know that
the act has no chance of passing.
That there is that possibility, mm-hmm. or the banks know that they're going to somehow win with this. Because this is part of the Banking for All is to make all of the banks basically accept this and use this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big problem. Oh, and by the way, the post office is part of it too. We're gonna become the hubs where people come and get their wallets, their digital wallets.
In case you needed longer lines.
Yeah, this has terrible idea written all over it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, what do you do when the deficit is where it's at? I mean, what do you do when they can't really print money? It really boils down to the interest rate. You can't go below zero. So,
I think they can, actually. Didn't the price of oil go below zero at one point, and they were actually paying people to take oil off their hands?
Yeah, but wasn't
this year?
I thought that was because they had ships just out there floating around in the sea in the Gulf. And
but it doesn't matter what their reason is. I mean, they were literally paying people to take oil.
Yeah, they couldn't store it all, so they had to pay people to get rid of it, because they keep pumping it out of the ground at a certain rate, and they can't slow it below a certain rate.
Hey, if I could refinance my house right now and get a negative number, a negative interest rate,
uh-huh.
I'd jump all over
it. Where they pay you to take a loan?
Yeah, exactly. But I haven't seen it available to me.
I don't think it's happened yet, but it's certainly possible. Paying people to take money, that's how you really drive inflation through the roof.
Right. 855-450-3733.
That's 855-450-FREE, as in free.
On a multidimensional probe, the SysGov Transtemporal Vehicle Clio discovers two entire universes have been annihilated in a massive time-traveling accident. Robert Kaminsky and his crew race home with the news, only to learn their own universe is next. To pull off the impossible, they'll have to embrace the unpalatable by placing their trust in the admin, SysGov's xenophobic sister universe, and the same people who tried to kill them all only months before. The Valkyrie Protocol by David Weber and Jacob Hollow. Available October 6th, wherever books are sold. Visit BaneBooks at Bane.com. For more.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. And again, you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. And with you in the studio, it's Aria, Ian, and Conan. And AnyPay 2.0 is here, and crypto payments are now faster than ever. And man, are they fast.
Zoom fast. Yeah, super fast.
Lately, it has been slightly slower as I use Bitcoin Cash, and that my phone actually pops up the notification that it was successful before their device pops up that it was paid. But I mean, it's like a fraction of a second difference. I mean, it's so freaking fast now. And it's even faster if you're using Edge Wallet, Handcash, Bitcoin.com, or the Dash Wallet. The experience is smooth. Some wallets, however, aren't ready for this impressive new technology. These wallet programmers need to hear from you, the wallet users. So visit anypayinc.com/upgrade to learn why some popular wallets are incompatible with AnyPay 2.0 and reach out to the wallet programmers and encourage them to make payments perfect at anypayinc.com. That's anypayinc.com/upgrade, because the Edge wallet, you don't have to do anything. Just they enter the amount that you want to pay, and you just choose whichever crypto you want to use, and you just scan the code, and that's it. You're done.
I don't think it could be any easier. I mean, it couldn't possibly be easier
than it is right now.
But if you don't have the right wallet, then it isn't going to work at all. So that's why these other wallet companies need to get contacted. This is one of the challenges of decentralization, right? It's like not all the wallet companies do the same things in the same order. They're not all working together. And so AnyPay came out with this amazing technology, and now we need to let these guys know, hey, this exists, and your wallet's not working with it, so you got to fix it, please. Or otherwise, people are going to leave these wallets, and they're going to go to better wallets like Edge.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about lithium in the water, but I forgot I had this pulled up, and it's more pertinent to what we were discussing earlier. I'd like to get into it first. Anything worth doing is worth doing badly,
no,
says a different opinion. I mean,
she's going to have to be really persuasive on this one, because initially I'm bristling at that statement.
Yeah, I am too, man. one of my favorite quotes is,
who is this?
This is coming to us from Kami Ostman, and she's all quoting right. G.K. Chesterton, who said, anything worth doing is worth doing badly. He was a Christian philosopher who argued that most of what must be done to make the world go round is done by the average Joe, who does not do it perfectly or sometimes even well. Well, that's true, and that's why the world is falling apart at the seams, I would suggest. If you're happy with the state of the world, then sure, continue half-assing everything. But I can't imagine too many people are happy. For reasons that may be obvious to those who know me, I love this sentiment. Like many of you, I exited my childhood as a perfectionist, afraid of making mistakes, and determined to do everything I undertook as flawlessly as I could.
Okay, well, that's your problem right there.
It's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah, and it's okay to not do something perfectly. But to say that it's okay to do something badly, as though you should just accept failure, because bad suggests you haven't even done an average job, right? Like, you're doing a piss-poor job. That's different than saying, oh, I haven't gotten to perfection yet, so I need to keep going forever until I get to perfection. You'll never get there. The old saying, I think, is the perfect is the enemy of the complete. At some point, you just have to be able to say, it's good enough.
Do well, but not perfect.
Yeah. Finish it. Finish the job. It doesn't have to be perfect for it to be finished. But to say that, to do something badly, no.
I approached college with a soul-killing effort that left me exhausted, albeit graduating with honors. And in my first marriage, I was guided by religious ideas about gender roles that sucked me, and I dare say my ex-husband, dry after a decade.
I guess she was a housewife. That was her.
Oh, man. I was just trying hard not to crack any jokes. It was an unlikely teacher, the marathon. What marathon?
Running. She took up running.
Okay. That taught me once and for all to dispense with perfectionism. You see, I don't come from a family of athletes, and my family all have eschewed regular exercise. Even in my own generation, there are very few who played soccer or softball. We just aren't an athletic clan. God, she is terrible. Can she get to her point? But in her first year at community college, she took a dance aerobics class and learned that she enjoyed moving her body. And then in her mid-30s, a friend challenged her to train for a marathon. She goes on, I took the challenge and quickly discovered that my body was not built for running. I slogged along on my training runs, barely managing the effort it took to build up my miles. Even now, after nearly a decade of marathoning, I'm no faster than when I was when I trained for my first 26.2 race. So this suggests that, okay, you are probably not suited for running and should find something else to do that you're better suited for. Unlike in my education, pure will and effort have not made me better at running. I do not run because I'm good at it. I run because of what I get out of it. I get exercise, but I also get time to meditate, a way to challenge myself, a clear, deep breath during stressful times, and a regular reminder that perfection is overrated. All of which she could get in other ways as well.
Well, look, she's getting something out of it. You sure don't have to always be improving your times in order to benefit from physical activity, right? So,
right.
You know, with the right circumstances, I can see what she's saying here.
Not everything is a competition, though.
Right, and you're not always, you don't have to compete with yourself either. So, in her case, to get out there and to complete the marathon is the important goal, not to right. beat everybody else's time. Marathons aren't generally considered a race, I don't think, by most of the participants within them, because most of them know they're not going to finish first, second, or third. But can you finish is the question. These are, what is it, 26.2 miles, I believe, is the marathon length?
26.2.
That is an incredibly long time to be running. If you can complete
26.2 miles.
Yeah.
I have better things to do with my time.
I agree with you as well. I think it's excessive, but you know, we had a former co-host here who did a lot of these things. He became kind of a marathon addict, basically. Went around and it was his new hobby. And you know what?
Sure, that's fine.
It's a hobby that dropped 150 pounds off of him. So it was a success. Even if he didn't finish in the top 10, just completing the marathon puts you in like the top 1% probably of all the people on the planet, you know?
Excellent point.
So,
but even then, that doesn't necessarily have to be your goal, not to be the top 1% in the planet. It's just you achieved this goal that you set.
Right. That is the goal, is to complete the marathon. That doesn't mean that you've done a poor job. And again, she's suggesting in the title that it's okay to just do something poorly.
And if you're finishing it, that's you're not
incredible.
Doing it poorly.
Right. That's an incredible accomplishment.
So I think this title is clickbait for sure.
Yeah,
I think
totally
that
is.
She, once we get to the end of this article, we're going to find that she is saying something different.
I think so.
Because just the act of completing the marathon is something
it's
that
tremendous.
Most human beings
yep.
can't do, period.
I suppose running a marathon badly would be like riding a bike during part of it, or just like stopping and not finishing it.
Well, I mean,
not finishing is the only way to fail at a marathon.
Yeah, but my point is, even if she is the last person across the finish line, she is still in the top 99 percentile of the human race.
Absolutely.
They can't run a marathon, period.
You mean the top one? She's out of that 99%. She's in the 1%.
Yeah. In this life, we sometimes do what we do because we do it well. Other times, we partake in an activity or engage in a task because it is worth doing. None of us is perfect at marriage, parenting, work, friendship, or any number of things. Some days, if we are honest, we will admit that we aren't even good at whatever we're doing. But does that mean we could just... Does that mean we close up shop and quit? Well, no. We try to improve if we need to improve in order to complete the task, but otherwise we just complete the task. I dare say most of us live with the paradox of working toward excellence while making do with good enough. Perfectionism, that pesky drive. So this is just a perfectionist who is no longer a perfectionist, and that's good.
And that is good, and that is an important lesson to learn. And maybe she didn't write the headline. You know, because I'm not hearing
well,
a whole lot.
She said she loved the quote. So,
what was the quote? Can you bring it back?
Whatever is anything worth doing is worth doing badly. That
it's
is the quote.
Terrible quote.
And she says it's her favorite quote from the guy who made it. Think about this. What do you enjoy but happen to do badly? Whatever it is, I encourage you to do it regularly. Yes, because that's practice.
If you
practice.
Enjoy it, okay, sure.
That's practice, and you become better at it mm-hmm. by practicing. I recommend a weekly night of karaoke if you love to sing but can't carry a tune. All of these are good advice, but it's all about, you know, building a skill. And I would certainly suggest to this person that she has indeed built a skill by running marathons, by getting herself to the point where she can complete a marathon. She has improved a skill. She has gotten better at running marathons. She's not doing them badly. 855. It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That number is 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria, Ian, and Conan. And are you depressed and maybe you don't want to start running marathons to handle your depression? Maybe you don't find running to be effective. Maybe you don't find, you know, watching television to be effective. Well, don't worry. We have the solution for you. Just put some lithium in your drinking water.
Oh, yeah. This article coming from Vice.com. A new study published in the British Journal of Psychiatry finds a link between lithium in drinking water and lower suicide levels. Maybe they had...
So people are so miserable that they're killing themselves, and instead of offering ways they may fix the circumstances of their lives, we're like, hey... We'll just drug you with some lithium.
Correct. Instead of looking for proper solutions, actually finding out why you are suicidal, they're just going to cover it up with a Band-Aid called lithium. Maybe they had the right idea putting lithium in 7-Up when it was first sold in 1929.
Really?
I was not aware of this, but according to this article and according to the wiki, that's what it originally had in it. And by the way, Coca-Cola had Coke in it.
Yes, it did. Yeah. Everyone knows that, right?
Yeah.
I've always heard that. I don't know if it's true.
It's true.
It's true.
Nice.
Because in an era of rising suicide rates, especially among young people, a new study from the Brighton and Sussex Medical School, published in the British Journal of Psychiatry, has found a strong link between geographical areas with high levels of lithium in public drinking water and lower suicide rates. In a press release from the Brighton and Sussex Medical School.
Correlation is not causation.
Correct. The study's lead author, Professor Anjum Mimim, said, "It is promising that a higher levels of trace lithium in drinking water may exert an anti-suicidal effect and have the potential to improve community mental health."
But they're not improving mental health.
They're covering it up.
Yes. You're living a lie. If you want to improve people's mental health, you have to give them ways to actually do that. Well, you have to teach them to analyze their problems, what is making them unhappy, and take direct action to fix those things.
But like I said earlier, the powers that be don't want that. They want desk monkeys. They want people buying their product. And this, I can see these people selling lithium to the drinking water. I can see them making a lot of money. Enter fluoride, of course.
Side effects of lithium could include headache, nausea or vomiting, diarrhea, dizziness or drowsiness, change in appetite, hand tremors, dry
mouth.
Can
you read it really quickly like one of those medicine ads?
Increased thirst, increased urination, thinning hair or hair loss, acne-like rash. Those all sound like wonderful things that would really make me want to keep living.
Not to mention, you're still living that life that made you suicidal in the first place. You're just mm-hmm. covering it up. So you're living with that bad blood we were talking about. So it's still there. The problem is still there, but you're just covering it up with this nonsense.
Now, noted, this is probably on like normal doses of lithium, not very light doses, but it's still something that I would rather not have in my diet if I, you know, could choose not to.
Yeah,
I would agree. Not knowing much about it, I just, that list of sound effects, it sounds worse to me than any risk I might have of committing suicide due to depression. These things are no longer an issue to me because I dealt with the depression.
Correct. Part funded by King's College London, the study is a meta-analysis of 3 decades of research in Austria, Greece, Italy, Lithuania, UK, Japan, and the USA. It concludes that lithium's protective abilities could be further tested by randomized community trials of lithium supplementation of the water supply in communities with high prevalence of mental health conditions and risk of suicide.
So like veteran communities?
I guess there's probably a chart out there, some data that says that, you know, which communities are more likely to commit suicide than others. I know there's an age, young people have a high tendency to commit suicide.
Hmm. Well, so do trans people. So there's one community. But yeah. I mean, it's not like there's an actual town full of trans
people. Where you can just drop it in the central water supply.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and who gets to decide?
Good question.
And who gets to say no to this?
Exactly.
Because I would say no to this.
I'm not interested in playing with this.
Who gets to decide no against putting fluoride in the water?
I do by not drinking it.
You have to drink water eventually, or you'll die.
If you're buying water from the store, you're probably drinking fluoridated water.
Do the filters take fluoride out?
I don't think they do a very good job. I know that I have a pretty heavy-duty filter system, and I think it takes chlorine out, but I'm not sure about the fluoride. And there is natural occurring fluoride in most drinking
water.
But here in Keene, we don't have to deal with that.
It is natural here in Keene. They don't add
just a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
But unlike Manchester, where they actually pump it in.
Right.
For your teeth, Ian. It's for your teeth.
The dentists really believe that stuff.
A lot of people do.
Yes, the crap that dentists use until you don't eat or drink afterwards for 30 minutes, that's the crap they're putting in people's water.
Yeah. It's the same stuff that on the side of the toothpaste tube, it says, by the way, if you swallow this, please contact your health professional, because this is poison. They're putting it in your water to drink.
Don't you love the government?
Deliberately lacing the water
supply.
This
is depressing. I need some lithium.
you can have some wine after the show. Deliberately lacing the water supply with a mind-altering chemical in some zones might seem like something out of a science fiction novel.
Well, it sounds like something out of a prison sentence at the very least.
But the authors of the report...
That can't possibly be legal.
Not yet.
Okay. So good. It probably is illegal for them to put mind-altering substances in the drinking water.
Well, we live in a democracy, so if enough people vote that they want to put lithium in the water,
it'll happen.
It'll happen. Or if enough, if the Gates of the world, who can sway whole governments to, I don't know, say vaccine whole populations, I'm going to say that they're going to be governor who is Gretchen
Whitmer. That's the Michigan one, right?
Yeah. I mean, if every one of our governors is like that lady, you better believe we'd be putting lithium in the water pretty soon to combat all of the problems. It's a Band-Aid solution.
First, the government uses the pandemic to create a lot of depression, and then they use the depression as an excuse to feed everyone lithium.
Yeah.
You might be honest.
Makes perfect sense to me.
I don't think there's a conspiracy there to have done that. It seems like a lot of trouble to go through when they could have just started putting lithium in the water and probably no one would have cared because they would have said, oh, well, this is good for you.
Well, someone's going to be selling the lithium, so someone's going to be making a lot of money off of this.
Sure. Well, who knows what's going to be in the the vaccines.
Now, is this lithium as in this, like a lithium ion battery? Is this the same substance?
That's a good question.
I would imagine lithium. It is. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you have things like, Soma we talked about from Brave New World, but that's different from the actual pill that is called Soma that is a muscle relaxer. So I just wasn't sure if maybe there's a medicine of lithium that is different from, the mineral.
It's probably in a different form delivered in some way that's different. But how that is, I don't know.
I don't either.
Well, according to this article, some scientists and others believe that this is a good idea worth experimenting.
Isn't lithium mining, doesn't that also entail a lot of slavery?
You mean like blood diamonds?
Yeah.
Could be.
I may be thinking about cobalt.
And completely raping the environment, leaving big holes in the ground?
Yeah.
I think you're right.
That's depressing. Get me some lithium. I'm going to keep making that joke all night.
Let's go dig some up after the show. The report states that these findings, which are consistent with the findings in clinical trials that lithium reduces suicide and related behaviors in people with a mood disorder, suggest that natural occurring lithium in drinking water may have the potential to reduce the risk of suicide and may possibly help in mood stabilization, particularly in populations with relatively high suicide rates and geographical areas with a greater range of lithium concentration in the drinking water.
Everybody believes that they can just solve problems after the fact. Like, oh, well, there's a greater suicide rate. Let's just give everybody lithium and that'll solve the problem. No.
Or we just, our pandemic has ruined your job. Your business has failed. Let's just bail you out.
Right. You don't solve the problem by covering up the symptom, right?
You don't treat pneumonia by addressing the cough with cough syrup.
Yeah, exactly. You have to solve the root problem, because you can throw drugs at people all you want. That's just going to cause other problems in the long run or the short run. And if people are unhappy, they're going to be suicidal. So why are they unhappy? That's what needs to be figured out here.
Correct.
And that's what they need to address directly.
I looked into it. By the way, it is both cobalt and lithium mining that involves child labor, modern slavery, and the destruction of people's land and water rights.
Take that, solar panel freaks. You're ruining the environment and you're enslaving a whole populations.
Electric cars are really, really bad for that, too. I mean, the lithium that people are going to get, produced with child labor and child slavery. So there's something else for you to be depressed about.
Kurt Cobain wrote a song about that.
Lithium, I thought there was an entire album called Lithium.
And he put a shotgun in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. It's Free Talk Live.
Or so they say.
Freedom! Freedom is the call of the untamed Scotsman and all others that want to feel the wind under their kilts.
At Free Talk Live, we love the breezy swinging feeling that only a kilt from Sport Kilt can give.
We teamed up with Sport Kilt to let you experience their form of freedom at a discount. Go to kilts.freetalklive.com and see a picture of Richie and me in our kilts.
And then head over to sportkilt.com. Get some stylish freedom for yourself and use code FTL for a 10% discount. Sportkilt.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And Conan.
And we're talking about suicide here, which is what happens when a depressed person ends their life. But look, if you're struggling with depression and you're feeling suicidal, change your life. Don't end your life. And by change your life, we don't mean stupid nonsense like taking more drugs or different drugs or adding lithium to your drinking water. That's what we're discussing here, because evidently some meta study has shown that areas where they have naturally occurring lithium in the drinking water have lower suicide rates than areas that don't.
Supposedly. That's what these people think.
Yes. And of course, they've jumped to the conclusion that, correlation equals causation, so this must be the lithium. They want to confirm this by selecting random communities into which they can insert lithium
into the drinking water.
So a mind-altering substance. So, I mean, if they're going to do that, just put shrooms in the drinking water.
Well,
everyone will have a really good time.
I don't know that we will have a good time. Who happens to really enjoy the shrooms.
As do I.
Me too.
I'm not. I can't say that it's a recreational hobby.
No, it's not.
It's very hard.
Safer of the available options.
Yes, so. But it's also not okay to like dose people. And
no,
things
absolutely.
That they haven't
not.
Consented to.
Yes, I'm obviously.
You
joking
might actually
about
cause. You might
to.
Cause someone to suicide if they just
If they don't know what's going on.
Had some tap water in the morning, and then it's 9 o'clock, and they're at work, and all of a sudden the walls start breathing. That might cause someone to maybe want to jump out a window or something.
I've done similar things on accidents because there's this liquid stuff that you can get that is just psilocybin concentrate, and I would add it to my lemonades. And I had a refrigerator full of lemonades.
Just little, small little doses?
No, usually like
half
a dose of
shrooms. You can dose as much as you want.
Yeah. But I lost track of which bottle had had the shrooms in it, and that was an interesting night at work.
Oh my!
I can imagine.
How is making pizzas while on shrooms?
No one knew, thankfully. But like the walls were moving.
So was it a whole dose or of one of those in one bottle?
It was a half a dose.
Half of a bottle. Okay.
Yeah. So I wasn't like tripping, but I was not.
You
in
were.
A, yeah.
Enhanced.
Well, it was fun. That was probably my favorite night of work.
Was it really?
Yeah. The pieces were like moving around and stuff, and you know how it is. It was great. It was very hard to stay focused.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting kind of.
I was like, crap, I have to do this for the next 8 hours, man. Whew. I mean, of course, the shrooms wore off before I got off work, but, you know, that was the thought the entire time. Can I just, like, go listen to music or something?
Well, according to this Vice article, you can't blame scientists for thinking outside the box on suicide prevention. And yes, I can what's coming up.
Well, this is not thinking outside the box. I mean, this is what scientists and the medical community want. They don't want to fix the depression. They just want to shove more chemicals down your throat.
This is medical authoritarianism is what it is. And that's where we are now as a society, in this total medical authoritarian state where people are being forced to wear masks, and ideas like this, where they're talking about pushing a medication across entire populations because they think it'll help some people.
Yeah, and
it's outrageous.
And when Big Pharma is calling the shots, they want to do what's going to make them money. They don't want to cure you. That's the last thing they want to do. They're not going to cure your cancer ever. They're never going to find that cure because there's too many drugs on the market they're making money off of to subside the growth and whatnot.
Well, the old axiom or whatever for the medical establishment is to do no harm. And if you're giving somebody drugs against their will, against their knowledge, one or the other, then that's harm, is it not? That sounds pretty bad to me. It sounds like a violation of that.
If there is another option, if there is an actual cure, like, for example, losing weight or something, or stop drinking so damn much. If there's an actual cure
for depression, you mean?
For anything, whatever's killing you. And the doctor, instead of giving you that information, telling you to go that route, they say, oh, here's a pill you can take. Mm-hmm. This will cure everything. Here's some lithium in your water. Here's some Soma. Go back to sleep. Go back to your desk and keep pushing buttons.
I'm not sure how much of that is true. I mean, I'm not going to say there aren't cases out there where a person probably needs to be on some sort of antidepressant or some sort of medication. But, you know, the research is being done to use things like shrooms as therapy for depression. So they are looking for ways of actually curing depression.
Yeah, which is something that you can grow on your own, which you don't need to buy.
Or you can just go out and find.
Or you go out and try not to get shot by the farmer when you're on his land, by the way, people.
That's the Southeast. Here in the Northeast, they tend to grow on, like, rotten logs and stuff.
But wait, the reason why the MDMA or shrooms therapy is effective for people, I think, is because you're going along with a therapist, right? It's not like you just take some shrooms and, well, my depression's cured. You have to be able to find the root of that depression. And
sure. And
having those drugs can help somebody open up in ways, especially MDMA, for instance, you know, can open up to a therapist about things that maybe they wouldn't have wanted to talk about before. It allows connections to be made that maybe wouldn't have otherwise been made, and can allow somebody to sort of root out their own, whatever the causes are of these problems. It doesn't just cure it.
Yeah, I see the benefit of having a therapist along, but the self-reflection can be done without the...
No doubt.
This could be really dangerous, too. I mean, just keep in mind...
Yes, if you've never tripped before...
Well, MK Ultra, they were dosing their patients with LSD. And suggesting they do things. And suggesting they learn and change their, you know, their whole cerebral makeup. So it could actually be in, you know, you could cure somebody, Ian, but I think you could also create monsters.
A problem. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah, but MK Ultra, they didn't just like, hey, here's two hits of acid. I want you to go kill Vladimir Putin. They didn't do that.
Yeah, it was a process.
And they subjected them to torture, and they didn't tell them they were dosing them with LSD. They just kept doing it day after day after day after day. I mean, if you do enough LSD, you're going to go nuts eventually.
Yes. Or you're gonna burn yourself out. Your brain literally burn out.
Yeah.
Well, according to the scientists, they think that this is thinking outside the box. Our mental health has been deteriorating over lockdown. Duh.
Well, let's see. What is the root problem here?
Exactly. So that's what we've been talking about this whole segment is, you know, it's, you know, let's find the root problem. Lockdown.
Yeah.
Current figures show
correlation and causation.
There are around 800,000 suicides a year. That's globally. Hmm. It is the second leading cause of death among 15 to 29-year-olds globally. I did not know that. The second leading cause of death.
What is the leading cause of death?
It doesn't say on the WHO page that I have pulled up here that we'll talk about in a second. Unfortunately, the evidence shows that the isolation and economic stress caused by COVID-19 may well exasperate this trend, and lead to a rise in suicides.
Let's go ahead and fix this for them. The isolation and financial stress were caused by the government, mm-hmm. not COVID-19.
Yep. All you got to do is, you know, let people out of their homes and let them, you know, run their own lives again, and you'll have less depression.
Yeah, idle hands are sitting around doing the devil's work as mm-hmm. we speak. In these unprecedented times of COVID-19 pandemic and the consequent increase.
In these unprecedented times. How many times have we seen that written in this year?
Or some president has gotten up there talking about, or yeah. some presidential candidate. So, and the consequent increase in the incidence of mental health conditions, as accessing ways to improve community mental health and reduce the incidence of anxiety, depression, and suicide is ever more important, said Professor Memnon.
I would suggest then that they end the lockdown, because that seems to be the source of most of these problems.
Yep. I agree. Scientists are not certain exactly how this natural occurring silver-white metallic element found in soil, seawater, and rocks, and therefore vegetables, grains, and water supplies, alters human mood. The suspicion is that it stimulates the growth of nerve cells. But since it was discovered in 1949 by Australian psychiatrist John Cade to be effective in treating mania, it has become a recognized medication for the treatment and prevention of bipolar disorder, for stabilizing mood and reducing the risk of suicide in people with mood disorders. In some studies, it has been shown to help reduce aggression and the onset of dementia.
So let's just give it to everybody.
Absolutely.
This does not sound like a good idea. 855-450-3733. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. And again, you can call in, take control of the airwaves, and talk about anything that you want. It's 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live. And we're going to ForkFest in 2021. Well, I'm going to ForkFest. Conan, I assume you're probably not. And Ian, I assume you are.
Definitely.
It is June the 28th through July the 4th for ForkFest 2021 at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. It happens the week after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and it's decentralized, which means no one's in charge, and there's no ticket cost. It's not just a campground.
That's why Conan should go, honestly. I mean, there's no ticket cost, so it's not like, you know.
I got to drive up there.
You can ride
with
someone.
What if we give you a ride, man? Come on.
Then I got to stay the whole week. wait, I got to stay for 2 weeks.
Yeah, just do what Mark does. Just hitch a ride with Mark. He'll be there for like one day,
there
and then
you
he'll
go.
Leave again.
Yeah.
I'll talk to Mark about a one day thing.
All right.
Okay. Cool.
I have animals and stuff.
That's true. Yeah.
I can't just leave all of my chickens and
responsibilities.
I was going to say bring them with you. That's what I did with my cats.
I'm not bringing 40 chickens.
No, I don't want you to. Please don't. But anyway, it's not just a campground. It's also got RV sites and even motel rooms if you don't want to actually go mm-hmm. camping, because God knows I don't. And we're better to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire. You can find out all about it at forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. There's a link there to the unofficial Telegram chat and the unofficial ForkFest forum. June the 28th through July the 4th, 2021. If you're struggling with depression, then definitely come up to ForkFest. The outdoors are great, and there will definitely, well, we presume there will be plenty of things that people are calling
and shrooms. There might even be lithium in the water.
There might be. I don't know.
I don't think so.
By request.
Oh, probably not by request.
No.
But it may be naturally occurring.
Well,
Lancaster,
that, I'm not
probably not.
I'm not talking about the natural stuff. I'm talking, all right, you know what? I was, that joke is not going to work.
Moving along.
So Canada has a suggestion for people who are engaging in sexual activity, it would seem. Now, New York City and New York State have also made bizarre suggestions about how to engage in sexual activity amidst the pandemic. Yes, I think it was some health department for the state of New York suggested using barriers between the participants.
In sex barriers? What does that mean? Like a plastic sheet?
No.
Like glory holes?
Exactly. I was trying to avoid saying that.
Well, we can't say that on the radio?
You can say that because it doesn't describe what's going on. So you just can't be explicit and...
That was the recommendation from at least one actual government office in the state of New York. And I think it's been elsewhere as well. I don't think it was just New York.
I think it has been in other publications. Which is insane.
But people, I don't even know how to respond to that.
People actually think this stuff. As long as you don't look someone in the eye, you're safe from the COVID.
Well, you certainly won't catch COVID by using a glory hole. You'll catch all kinds of other crap that you don't want, but not COVID.
I don't know.
I mean, are you going to catch other things from the glory hole? Like, how does that work? I mean, without getting too explicit.
Well, there's generally...
Unless you've got like an open sore.
Well, generally with, you know, the glory hole, the point is anonymity. Yeah, you know, being anonymous. There we go.
Mm. True. So you don't know who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
On the other end. Yeah, I guess it depends on what's going on with the glory hole, right? Like if it's just...
I thought there's only one thing that's going on. It involves getting someone else's fluids on
it
you.
It could...
So yes,
without getting into detail, it could involve...
But those fluids don't contain COVID, coronavirus.
Yeah, but like you said, they might contain other things.
It could be an oral reception, or it could be a hand reception, in which case it's probably pretty safe. It's, you know, it's the latter, right? Yeah. So it just depends. Anyway, CNN reporting that... And this is a little old, mind you. I was on Vincent's show last night. He was doing an episode of Questioning Authority here in the studio since he was in town for the protests that we had yesterday. And this story came up, and I hadn't seen it a month ago. It was September when this came out. So according to CNN, sex in a pandemic can be complicated, Canada's lead medical doctor says. And it's best to...
I wouldn't say complicated, but it has been difficult to find willing participants since the pandemic started.
Yep.
One idiot messaged me recently saying something along the lines of he wasn't looking in person. He just wanted to video chat on Snapchat. And I was like,
that's not what you're looking
wasting
for.
My time with this, dude. Why? I would just look at porn.
Right. Probably a lot more entertaining.
I'm sure it would
be. And cheaper.
So the recommendation by Dr. Teresa Tam, who's the chief public health officer. So she's the top doctor in Canada, authoritarian medical state doctor, like, you know, Fauci or whoever it is. I think they finally fired him or something a few months ago, but he got a lot of press.
They replaced him with someone who's just as bad.
Yeah. But she's their equivalent. That person's equivalent in Canada. And she's been in the news. We've reported on her before, where she has said that she expects the so-called social distancing to go on for at least 2 or 3 years up in Canada. Remember, Canada's also the same place where Ontario province has what they call the social circles, wherein you are not allowed to have any kind of contact with people who are outside of your so-called social circle. It is a specific number of people, like 8 or 10 people or something like that.
Now, are they actually enforcing this?
I don't know to what extent they are enforcing
it. If you live in Ontario and you know whether or not this is actually being enforced, give us a call and let us know. What is that like?
Your social circle is not supposed to interconnect with other social circles. So,
right, so all 10 people have to have the same 10 people.
The same 10, right. Yeah. So if we're in the social circle with each other, the three of us, and if it's only 3 people, then you couldn't have another 2 people in a different social circle or whatever. So
you can't have organic friendships and networks in Ontario.
Yes, it's insane. So Teresa Tam, the public health officer, issued a public statement last month on staying safe from the virus when engaging in sexual activities. She said, sexual health is an important part of our overall health. However, sex can be complicated in the time of COVID-19. The lowest risk sexual activity during COVID-19 involves yourself alone. So,
socializing with people is critical for our mental health. But she's advocating social distancing?
She's advocating you stay and basically touch yourself and no one else.
Oh.
But if you're going to have sex with people, she suggests a number of steps to reduce the risk, including avoiding face-to-face contact or closeness, specifically saying to skip kissing. Just skip that whole part. You know, one of the most important aspects of foreplay.
Yeah.
Just skip that part, she says.
That's usually what leads
to the rest of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Just forget that part. Consider using a mask.
I can appreciate taking the expedient approach on occasion, but to just like have to, which is diving straight into it every single time. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And consider using a mask during your sexual encounter.
I'm not sleeping with anyone wearing a mask.
That only makes too much sense.
And I just can't even imagine anyone.
how awkward would that be?
How can you take this seriously?
Well, hold on, because there are people who actually do this because they like doing it.
What, yes, wearing masks?
That's different.
You're talking about furries.
I'm talking about, that and the bondage people.
Bondage people, okay, sure. Gags, ball gags, things like that.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well, a ball gag isn't a mask.
But see, this lady wants us all to be weird. I don't want to be weird. I don't want to wear masks.
Conan, I don't know how to tell you this, dude, but you're pretty weird.
I'm not weird like this person is.
I want to know, has anyone in our audience actually witnessed people kissing with masks on in real life? Because I've seen videos, but I always wonder if they're fake.
I saw a couple the other day having a young couple having lunch together wearing their masks.
Well, it's weird.
From New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestselling author Larry Correa comes the latest chapter in the epic military fantasy saga of The Forgotten Warrior. When the Grand Inquisitor perverts the law in his genocidal plot to kill every man, woman, and child in the Untouchable cast, only the traitor, Ashok Vidal, and the Sons of the Black Sword stand in his way. If it's war he wants, it is war he will get. Bain Books presents Destroyer of Worlds. Available September 1st, wherever books are sold. Visit MonsterHunterNation.com. For more.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and you can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. That toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, as in free of any sanity or sense here on the show as we're talking about Canada and some of the bizarre decisions they made. But with you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And Conan.
And it's not the latest, but it's the latest that we're discussing from Canada and their, you know, medical authoritarian hellscape, is this notion that people need to wear masks during sex. But Conan, you mentioned that you saw people eating recently while wearing masks.
Yeah.
But it's worse than what you initially suggested.
Correct, because we ran out of time. I work in a rural community, which is half farmers, and the other half are these hipster yuppies that have escaped their states to come, and they're basically taken over the town. It's a sad thing. And where I work, right there in the center of town, it's the yuppie hub. It's the hipster hub where everyone comes. It's a very expensive little restaurant there, and they have a little gift store, and they sell food and stuff. So yeah, it's where they all over the region, they come to this one little section, and yes, everyone wears masks. They are not, they're not playing around. And when I said that I saw this very young couple, looked like they were on...
Now, there's no mask requirement in Cheshire County as a whole.
That's
or
correct.
In
Nor
the state of New Hampshire.
There is no ordinance in Walpole that says you have to wear a mask.
What if you go to this restaurant not wearing a mask?
I've never seen it happen. Everyone wears their damn mask. They pull up in the parking lot.
Put their masks
with their masks already on.
Oh, wow.
So they're driving around in their cars by themselves?
Yeah.
Wearing masks.
True believers.
They get out and they go sit down at a table and they'll keep their masks on the whole time. A waitress will come up. Very pretty. There's two very pretty waitresses that I haven't seen their faces since the beginning of this nonsense.
Oh, man.
And they'll take your order and they'll sit there with their masks on until their food arrives, and then they'll take their mask down. Now, the couple that I saw the other day, a young couple.
How young? 20s?
Early 20s, okay. Yeah. They were performing the California method, which is they were taking bites.
They were touching their mask as much
constantly
as humanly possible.
They were taking bites, and then once they took a bite, they would pull their mask back up.
Oh, my God.
To chew.
Wow, man.
I saw it in action, and we talked about this, 2 weeks ago? And I was like, yeah, this is just...
Yeah, we're like, California.
Now
there it is.
Can't happen. Well, keep in mind that I think a lot of these people who live in this new community are old. Actually, it's an old community.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them are from areas like California. So they're just bringing their bad ways with them. They moved here because they burnt their place down with their bad ideas, and they had to escape because of the taxes and because of the stupid policies and whatnot. And they're bringing their bad ideas with them, and it's sad. I saw this, and I swear I wanted to keep driving right into them.
Oh, man. It's frustrating.
Let me take that back.
I wasn't going to
run anybody over, but that's how bad I felt about humanity when I saw that.
I saw
you need some lithium.
I need some lithium.
I saw something similar, not quite to that extent, but as I was walking up to a local restaurant here for one of our meetups at the Pho restaurant here in downtown Keene, which everybody loves.
Which does not require masks. Do their personnel wear masks?
Only if mask people come up as customers. Then they'll swing a mask on because it's going to get them a better tip.
And probably, we have an ordinance here in town. Have they not been taken to task?
They have been ignored.
Dude, the last time they did something to fucking great, it did not end well for
them. It went into international publicity. But there were people. So the mask people like to sit outside while they can. And so there was a couple, actually probably a six-top table sitting, and four of the six were still eating. They didn't have masks up, but two of the six had masks on while talking to each other. And I was just curious as I'm walking up, like, all right, are these guys putting masks on while they're eating? And I looked and just, you know, peeked at their food, and they were done eating. So they had finished their meals and then re-masked up just to have a conversation with one another.
Yeah, I agree. I believe it. I've seen people walking down the road very obviously together.
Yep, with masks on.
With masks on, both of them
holding hands.
No. Not holding hands. Mm-hmm. On separate sides of the road, keeping their distance, the whole road's distance from each other. I saw this last Saturday.
How are they obviously together?
They were talking to each other
across the road.
Across the road.
You mean like an actual road?
An actual highway, like a rural highway. No traffic. I'm the only guy on the whole road. I saw 5 minutes of it because I'm delivering up and down the road. Yeah.
I think in addition to Canada, I could have sworn I've seen that colleges are also telling their students to have sex with masks on.
Well, Keene State said no hugging.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They didn't say no sex.
Well, they're not saying no sex.
Sure.
They're saying put a mask on for the sex. Which is ridiculous. There's even a the freeze frame or the featured frame of the video. So CNN's report, the featured frame before you hit the play button on it, it has what appears to be an actual photograph of two what appear to be Asian people embracing each other, and they're nose to nose with masks on. So I mean, I don't think that's a fake photograph. That looks like it was taken on a subway or something like that, through a window in real life.
No, Ian, that looks like the couple I saw at the restaurant the other day. That looks just like it. I mean, they weren't kissing, but they were close enough that they could,
But if the date went well,
each other. Good question.
Maybe that's
good point. Where did it lead to?
Isn't the whole point of relationships supposed to be having someone in your life for whom you are willing to get sick, if that's what it takes to have them in your life?
To swap juices?
Yeah. Isn't that like the point?
To be that close to that person, to be that intimate with that person. Oh, no, now you've got a mask on in between you. I mean, it's just, I can't even understand how someone who actually is interested in another person could take this seriously and follow these instructions. But yet it's happening.
They're not, these people aren't able to even make that decision on their own. If Fauci didn't say to do it this way. People can't think. I'm telling you, man. Simulation, NPCs. These people aren't real. I can't trust the world anymore.
I can appreciate advising people not to kiss. That's one thing. Advising people to kiss with mask on or to have sex with mask on, that's different. If you want to advise people not to have sex, I will disagree with you. But okay, that's not stupid. Okay, but having sex while wearing a mask, that being your advice,
that is stupid.
Yeah.
Yep, it is, and sick, and
it's
and,
crazy.
And it's dehumanizing
at the
very least.
It's lunacy.
So that's the story. I mean, there's more, but that's basically the story.
Yeah. Well, if you have coronavirus, I have good news for you. Evidently, mouthwash may actually deactivate the coronavirus in humans. So maybe, as we talked about earlier, maybe Vermin Supreme had a point.
His point being, brush your teeth, it's the law.
He's never said anything about mouthwash. He's all about free ponies.
Well,
and a toothbrush.
Mandatory toothbrushing, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not mouthwash.
No, it's not.
I would presume.
And that's sensible, because
however, that brushing your teeth would also have the same effect. It is, after all, cleansing.
Yeah, unless, well, yeah.
Doesn't use alcohol.
Okay, true.
I think that's the key component here. I think this is a reason Listerine probably kills COVID is because of the alcohol mm-hmm. content in the mouthwash itself.
What about the alcohol content in alcohol?
Good point.
Can you just take a couple of shots of vodka and be done?
Unfortunately, mouthwash doesn't differentiate and kills all bacteria. As a result, mouthwash can cause harm in the long run because it can disrupt the microbiome and impede the normal functioning of your body. So,
correct.
No, you probably shouldn't make a habit out of using mouthwash.
Well, unless you get the alcohol-free stuff. I think the same people who make the deodorant and the toothpaste, I can't remember their name offhand. I haven't bought them in years, but I think they also
Arm &
make
them. Hammer?
No. It's a company that specializes in, natural toothpastes and whatnot. I think they make a mouthwash as well. I'm not sure.
Is this the company that has the toothpaste / body wash / shampoo thing?
What?
Yeah, there is this company that makes this crap.
/ car wash as well?
It's evidently all purpose, and that's gross.
Wax on, wax off.
Well, soap is soap. I mean, it's basically fat and lye.
Well,
I'm not going to say soap is soap.
No.
It is.
Some soap has triclosan in it. Some soap doesn't. They're different.
Fat and lye.
I don't want my mouth to smell like my hair, at the very least. Okay. You know? Different soaps for different parts of the body. 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. You can call in and talk about anything that's on your mind. If you're quick, you can still get on the air with us. That toll-free number is 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria, Conan, and Ian. And I want to say thank you to Ash Redo, who is tonight's amplifier. This means they're a member of the AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. It's money that we use strictly to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live. So if you like the show and you want to help us get on more radio stations or to reach a wider audience, then contributing to the AMP program is by far the best way to do that. That's amp.freetalklive.com. It does come with a number of cool little perks like an AMP-only Facebook group. And is there an AMP-only chat room on the Matrix server?
There is.
There is an AMP. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Not going to repeat the whole thing again. But Ash Redo, we thank you so much for your support. We hope you continue listening, and we hope you continue amplifying the show. So this new study conducted by researchers at the Penn State College of Medicine has found that a common dental item can inactivate human coronaviruses, mouthwash, and oral rinses. But before we get too deeply into it, let's go to the phones. We've got Joe calling from Maryland. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Hey, wonderful. What's on your mind?
Now, what were you guys saying that they were going to put in the water?
Lithium.
Well, there's currently no plan to put anything in the water, but there is this meta study done where they looked at a number of regions and they concluded, based on what they were seeing, that suicide rates appeared to be lower in places where there was more lithium naturally occurring in the water.
Correct.
Right. Now, what do you call it? I'm into alternative health and stuff like that. And if you do blood work on people that are depressed, you'll find that they're deficient in lithium.
Really?
So, yeah. So my girlfriend is depressed and stuff like that. So I bought her lithium orinate, but her doctor.
What is that, by the way?
It's a mineral.
So it's in pill form? You just take a pill every morning or something?
Yes, sir.
And does it work for her?
Well, the doctor wouldn't let her take it because she was prescribing medicine for her.
Who determined that she was lithium deficient? The same doctor who said he wouldn't give her the pill, or some different doctor?
No. What do you call it? I've studied alternative health and stuff like that, and a lot of people that are depressed are usually deficient in that mineral.
Have you determined, though, that this was the case for your girlfriend?
No, she's going to get some blood tests, and we're going to have her check for the lithium.
Okay.
Because,
is she willing to try lithium if...
Oh, yeah, she's going to try the pill if they find that she's deficient in it.
Okay.
She listens to me because the doctor put her on a bunch of medications and stuff like that. And I told her not to take it, and I gave her a bunch of nutrients and stuff like that. And the things that were supposedly wrong with her all cleared up. And she told the doctor, my boyfriend gave me this stuff. And he goes, well, you shouldn't have taken that stuff. And she goes, well, it all cleared up.
So how does one become lithium deficient? Like, this is something that is found in trace minerals. Minerals, and it's everything. It's in everything. It's in the vegetables. It's in the water. So
you don't eat the proper nutrition.
Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe instead of actually trying to get a lithium dosage, which it sounds like it's going to be a whole lot more than she would be getting naturally, maybe you should figure out how to get it naturally.
Right. I told her to eat certain things. And if you want to know the truth, she doesn't eat a whole lot. Like tonight she ate three things of yogurt, and that's all she's eaten so far.
It definitely sounds like there may be a dietary issue going on here. I'm not a doctor, but...
Right. She doesn't eat right.
Yeah, I think, and that was the whole point of our segment with the putting lithium in the water, is there. It's just a Band-Aid. What you want to do is you actually want to figure out why the person is depressed, why they have this deficiency in their life, and maybe it's you live in the wrong spot, or you're eating the wrong foods, or you're hanging out with the wrong people. This lithium put in the water... And having to decide, you know, what dosage everyone gets. I mean, the kids get a different dosage than the adults. It's ridiculous. The biggest issue here is figuring out what the core problem is and attacking it head on.
I'd like to point out that not only is Conan right about finding out what the core problem is, but interestingly, they've done studies with placebo and depression, and they found that placebo can cure depression. So that really suggests that there's something inside this individual that can be fixed, because if they believe that the placebo pill, you know, sugar pill, they don't know what it is, right, is going to help them. Here, take this pill. It'll help your depression.
Okay.
And it helps their depression? It was a sugar pill. So the whole claim that there's, you know, I've had people in my life who've been depressed, and a lot of them will like to claim that, well, I'm just, you know, I've got a deficiency. My chemicals are imbalanced. I need to take these pills to balance my chemicals. It's not me. It's not something that I'm causing. I can't just fix this. Well, if you take a placebo and it fixes your problem, it was you.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say there aren't cases out there where, you know, the antidepressants are needed to fix.
I won't
some
say
sort
that either, but I don't think there's a lot of them.
Yeah, I think the vast majority of people would be better off finding some other way of handling their depression, because I think I used to have severe depression.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been an issue for me in years. The issue, of course, was that I needed to transition.
Yeah, it sounds like you don't have time to be depressed. You just got too much stuff to do. I think that really helps. That goes back to the idle hands do the devil's work. Mm-hmm. Keeps you busy. It keeps you free of this type of thing. But I think this is something that is, especially in, you know, starting around my age group, I've been on this planet for 42 years, but I mean, ever since I've been around, I've been hearing the therapists and the specialists and the folks at, starting at a very young age, that you can't possibly be addicted because of choice, but because of it's science. It's you have an addiction because of science.
It's always your choice.
Well, no, not anymore. It's not.
Yeah.
Joe, thank you so much for the call. Not necessarily true.
Choice has left the equation as far as like dependencies on like substance and whatnot are concerned.
No, I understand what you're saying, but they're hypocrites about it, because there is one substance to which you can be addicted where you're just a filthy habit.
Sugar?
It's not a chemical addiction. It's a filthy habit, and that's smoking. Nicotine addiction. For that one addiction, they will make an exception. What? That's you're choosing to smoke.
You're absolutely right, because it's taboo. But, it's taboo now.
But when it comes to gambling, or when it comes to alcoholism or any other sort of addiction,
it's a disease.
It's
science.
But being addicted to nicotine, conspicuously not a disease.
You're right about that. I bet there are others too, little ones that are starting to crop up on the radar.
Probably. But you're right. Because smoking is taboo. You're a second-class citizen if you smoke.
Now you're a second-class citizen if you don't wear a mask.
There's another one. Exactly.
Well, I can't
smoke
while
where
wearing
I was going.
A mask, so guess what I'm not going
to
do?
That's where I was going. It's taboo to not wear a mask these days.
Yeah,
Is it a disease that I can't wear a mask? Can I blame it on a disease?
That raises an interesting question. In these cities that have, you know, you have to wear a mask when you're outside, what if you smoke?
There's an exemption.
Yeah, so here I can...
You could walk around. We went to this drive-in comedy show here in Keene. You were one of the only folks that couldn't because you had to work.
Yeah.
But there was one of our friends was walking around smoking a cigarette. You're supposed to be wearing a mask when you are, you know, going from your spot to like the bathroom or, you know, the porta potties. And he figured out the way around it is you just constantly have a cigarette lit.
That's brilliant.
And they can't say anything to you. They didn't, but they were bugging everybody else.
Finally, an advantage to being a smoker.
There you go.
I found my loophole. I suffer oppositional defiance disorder, and that's why I can't wear a mask.
Well, I just like the idea
I suffer a disease, for real.
Well, look, I know a doctor who will write a note for any libertarian type who wants to have a note because he believes that this whole thing is BS, and further, it's a medical necessity that I have oxygen.
Yep.
Unimpeded.
According to OSHA, too, that's a thing.
Yeah,
you have to have a certain amount of oxygen on the workplace. Otherwise, you could sue your employer.
By the way, just an additional here to the masks during sex thing. BBC, the UK government, also recommending that people not only wear masks during sex, but also choose positions that aren't face-to-face.
Oh, that's going to upset the Christians.
So make sex as unintimate as it can be. Don't get...
Take
close
the
face-to-face.
Most intimate act possible and make it as unintimate as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's absolutely deplorable. That's disgusting.
It's horrifying. The little image for this article in the BBC has two little animated-looking people laying in bed, wearing masks, looking up at the ceiling together.
Can you imagine being in a relationship like that? Can you just imagine how much these people have to hate each other and themselves to do that?
I can't even imagine this.
Ari, I saw it. I saw it the other day. I saw a young budding couple, and they were going through the. They're doing it all the wrong way.
Help us resist this nonsense. Head on over to amp.freetalklive.com and contribute amp.freetalklive.com.
News from news.bitcoin.com. $9 trillion, a third of the U.S. debt, has been created just since September 2019. The Bank of China's new digital currency has been used in more than 3 million transactions, worth more than a billion won. Still nothing from the U.S. Federal Reserve's digital currency. John McAfee indicted for tax evasion and SEC violations. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrency. Getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.